This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. It's Wednesday night. Christopher, John O'Shea, how are you?
It's November 4th. Andrew Vincent, I'm fine. Did you have fun getting through the traffic?
Oh, I hate that. I know, I just got here, what, 2 minutes ago, right? So, you know, it's just nerve-wracking sometimes when you're trying to maneuver through that traffic. I was getting onto 83, right, up at Chuan Road. That's where our offices are. And the minute I got on, I could see that the traffic was already backing up and that there was something, yellow lights are flashing on the, you know, the warning message sign. And,
oh, wow.
And I'm thinking, this isn't looking good. So I got immediately off and then went up Chuan Road, which is never easy.
Sure.
At this time of
it's
night.
A long and windy road.
It's a lot of traffic at this time of night. Mm-hmm. It's any time between 4:30 and 6 o'clock, it's a mess on there. But I managed to get all the way to Falls and get down here. And then I get down to the Beltway and then, you know, just one exit. And then all of a sudden it's backing up again. And so, and then that stupid light at Reisterstown in the Beltway. I hate that light.
Yeah, whoever designed that.
Nina hates that light, too.
Whoever designed that light.
You know, it's the stupidest light. I hope that the traffic people are listening. It's the stupidest light in the universe. The people are in the intersection when the light turns green for us, and we have to wait for them all to get through. You know, can't you just put a delay on it for another 5 seconds or so, you know? But if they did, you know what? They'd all figure it out, and they'd all go through the red light then.
And you almost got past this, and I had to bring the subject up again.
Yeah. Anyway, we're on an open show, Chris. So, well, you know, this is an open topic there. And that
is.
Was Drew's view. The light at Reisterstown Road and the Beltway stinks. That whole intersection stinks.
I would like to hear, you know, from those designers, whenever they did the bridge work and however that came about, because it's pretty curious.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, it's a nice-looking intersection.
It is very
nice-looking. It's just there's so much,
functional.
You know, it's weird. You know, you got X's mm-hmm. in this way and that way. It's dumb, Anita said. Anita used a professional word, dumb. Anyway, we're not getting there. We're not going there. We're on an open show. We're here to talk about financial, personal finances, whether it's estate planning or income taxes or insurance or IRAs, 401ks, elder care planning, annuities. That's a hot topic that we're actually I've given,
crazy laws that the Congress puts passed
yeah.
in there for Social Security thing.
Yeah,
anything.
They eliminated some great Social Security strategies. I put Tom onto the job of finding an annuity person. And we've got three good options to an objective annuity person who's an expert in annuities to come on and talk about annuities and all this hype that you're hearing on the radio. And we'll let this person, you know, be objective and just tell it like it is. Okay, so I think that'll be good. I don't know when we'll be able to get them. We're working on three different leads, and we'll see what happens. That's Tom's job. I'm not going to worry about it. Tom's the man. You give him a job, he'll get it done. You know, it's like Chris. You give Chris a job, he'll get it done. You know, I don't worry about it. Mike's another one. Chuck, you know, those guys, you know, they're the people. You give them a job, they get it done. You know, anyway, what were you going to say?
Well,
you look like you're going to say something.
Well, we have several
I have
lines.
Callers.
You do? Well, we still have several
but I have
callers.
No idea what they're talking about. Can I pick that up, Anita?
She's working on it.
You know, it's anonymous. We're going to anonymously talk to Anonymous. Anonymous, we're not talking to you, but we're going to. Go ahead, Anonymous.
It's not Anonymous. My name's Claude, but she couldn't get it right again.
Oh, what's your name?
Claude.
Okay,
Claude. All right, Claude. What's your question, my friend?
I don't have a retirement at my job.
Okay.
So I make like $1,500 every 2 weeks.
Okay.
What could I invest in that I could put like $400 a month in that I could make some money on down the road?
Okay, so, you know, and you have no 401k or anything like that in your company?
Right, we have nothing.
Okay. Are you married?
No.
Okay. So you can do a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA, depending on whether you want a tax deduction and tax-deferred money, or whether you want a after-tax investment, but the money grows all tax-free. So that's what you should be doing to plan for the long term at $400 a month. I guess I would lean, in his situation, Chris, I'd probably lean toward the Roth IRA, wouldn't you?
Sure.
Yeah, so that way the money's there, it's tax-free. If he has an emergency, he can draw on it if he needs to, and, you know, and so forth. So you'd want to do a Roth IRA, Claude.
Okay.
But then what you invested in, that's an interesting question, because you want to probably just stick with a couple, you know, index funds like the S&P 500 and the international, split it up 60-40, something like that, 60% in U.S., 40% in international, and just let it go. Just let it do its thing over the next. Just keep putting that $400 a month in and just let it go. How old are you?
49.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good start. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
All right, so Roth IRA, two indexes. I'd just go to Charles Schwab and Company, TD Ameritrade, any one of those two, E-Trade, any one of those three, and just tell them I want to set up a Roth IRA. I want to put $400 a month in. I want to put it in a U.S. stock market index and an international index. Those two, 60-40, call it a day. All right?
Okay, thanks, pal.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right. Look at this. Watch this, Anita. You ready? Give me 4 seconds. We are taking a pause in 4 seconds. 1 second. Pause right now.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Now, you figure, Chris, after being so professional and hitting that right at 14, we'd gotten more music than this. But you know,
thought you were going to get one of your songs, huh?
You know, I thought, you know, maybe I get a treat, but that's okay. I don't need it.
There's always opportunities later.
I'm a much more humble guy than that. Sherry in Lithicum, how can we help you?
Oh, hi, Drew. Thank you. I listen to your program a lot.
Well, we appreciate that.
Okay. I was calling about a guy named Rick Edelman, and I'm hoping you've heard of him.
Yeah, we've heard of him.
Okay. And I'm calling about something in particular, because I really don't want to meet with him. I may meet with you in the future, but he advertises something called the Ricky Trust, which can save for retirement for your kids with a $5,000 investment.
Yeah, you know, I saw that recently, and I looked at it, and I tried to figure out why he thought this was a good thing. I think it might have been 10, 15 years ago. There might have been some concept, but you know, I actually forgot all the basics of it. It was so ludicrous what he was saying and doing. But
yeah, he says $5,000. Now my kids are 18 and 20, so you know I missed that many years. But it's something that grandparents or parents can put down $5,000, give their company $5,000, never put in another dime.
Until the
person retires. Yeah.
I can't remember if it was he was doing a trust with an annuity in
it,
Chris.
It's a variable
annuity inside of an irrevocable trust.
Yeah, it was an absolutely ridiculous concept in my opinion, and I have no idea why he would be recommending it. You know, I find Edelman to be a brilliant marketing person. That's what I think about, you know, Rick. And, you know, but I don't see that he does bad things.
Yeah,
but this one,
right.
This one, I really shook my head at. I said, Edelman, you know, you're better than this. Why are you promoting this silly thing?
He's
a
knowledgeable guy.
But anyway, that creates...
Well, I remember once when I was listening to a show, somebody called about it. And this was just recently, a few months ago, and he made it sound so terrific.
Well, that's what I said. He's a great marketer.
Yeah, that there were fees. But there are fees.
Well, there are, because anytime you have an irrevocable trust, you got to set up the trust account. You've got to get a tax ID number. You got to do a trust tax accounting every year.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous concept, and it's a lot of complication. you know, you could do just the same thing with a custodial account for your grandchildren, you know, or, you know, and so forth.
Oh, so you mean there's, I'm thinking it's going to grow too. I mean, he had said just an astronomical amount.
No, but you know, he's not allowed to say that. That's illegal. So if he said that, then I would really be upset with him, because it's illegal for a person in his position or from my position to say to you that anything will make you a lot of money. All I can say is, here's an investment. You can look at past performance, but that's all I can say about it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's no indication of future performance.
Similar to something like, and by the time that they retire, that money grows to be hundreds of thousands.
You're not allowed to say that. That's totally illegal.
Right.
SEC law, he knows that. He should know that. His compliance people should have come down on him like a ton of bricks for saying that.
Well, it sounded very lucrative for a mom who is looking out for her children.
Well, you can do that without all that complication. If you think that's a good thing, you know.
No.
I'm just saying.
Opinion definitely, because I've listened to you for a long time, and I trust your opinion. And
well, let's put it this way: if he said it's going to be worth lots of money in the future, that's a total compliance violation. He's not allowed to say that.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if he said something that it's going to be worth X amount of money, if given the long 60, 70-year market returns, it continues to do this percentage.
Well, he might have said those words.
But even I don't think he would have even said. I don't even think you can say that.
You can't say a dollar amount that's going to grow to, right?
No,
that's when you start getting in trouble.
You get in trouble.
Well, I'm glad I called you, because I didn't waste my time calling him.
Yeah, well, you know, anytime you throw trust and you get this marketing hype that this is a wonderful thing, I always get cautious anyway, you know?
Okay.
All right, Jerry.
Yep, thank you. I appreciate your opinion.
Take care. Mark in Cadenceville. Mark in Cadenceville, how are you?
Wonderful. In reference to Social Security, and you're still working, and they reduce the amount that's reimbursed because you're working and making more, what, than $14,000 or $15,000?
Right.
Will that portion that they've reduced your compensation, does that... Can you eventually get that when you stop working?
Yes. Well, so what you're saying here is, so let's say that you made, you know, if you're under your full retirement age and you make an earning, you know, let's say you make $20,000 and that's, say, $5,000 over the limit that you're allowed to earn, you're going to lose $1 for every $2. So you're going to lose $2,500 of your Social Security. Now, it's not totally penalized against you, though, Mark. It doesn't, they just don't take it away, and you never will see it again for doing that, like a punishment. What it is they take that $2,500 away. But then when you hit your full retirement age, you will get that money, and you'll actually get it at the full retirement age compensation.
I see.
So you will get it. They're just going to take it away from you between, you know, your age that you're at up to your full retirement age. So it's not a penalty that you're never going to see again. It's just a... I don't even know why they do it. I guess there's an explanation for it. I've never asked about it. So, you know, you're not going to lose it, my friend.
Okay, one more question. In reference, maybe if this is not the proper place to talk about this, but, you know, with this debt limit that they raised and they went back into the Social Security fund to help fund whatever they want to fund, how can that be legal?
Well, you know, they never considered the Social Security Trust Fund anything more than their money to do with as they please. So, you know, to explain that, during the Clinton administration, he said he balanced the budget. Well, he never balanced the budget. And Bush lied about, you know, he got the budget down to only being this much in deficit. Because let's say Clinton said he balanced the budget. There was no deficit. There was no surplus. There was no deficit. Well, what he was saying is we brought in a $400 billion surplus to Social Security. We spent $400 billion more than what we should have. And when you put the surplus that we got in from Social Security up against the $400 billion extra we overspent, we have zero, and that's what we're telling the public, we didn't have any deficit. So they've never considered there being a trust fund there anyway, so don't worry about it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Wow.
I hate to say that, but it's, you know, it was a farce from the very beginning. Uh-huh. All right?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Mark. We're going to Charlie in Columbia. Charlie.
How you doing?
Good, and you? Appreciate you holding.
So Social Security, the only bad thing about this time of year, I lose WCBM signal quite poorly this time of night.
It does.
I can't hear it very well right now myself, but go ahead.
All right. The question has to do with Social Security. I'm a small employer, and I offered a job to an older lady, a very part-time job, and her concern is, if I start paying her, will she be taxed on her Social Security income? And I have been
able
to get a hold of the worksheet.
She has to make over $25,000 of compensation from all sources, including the money you pay her and half of her Social Security.
Okay, that's what I don't know. In other words, she gets her continuing pension from her husband, which is $800 a month.
Okay, so
she
that's $10,000.
She gets $1,600 and change. Let's say $1,700 a month, his Social Security check since he's passed.
Okay, so that's another $10,000. That's
$20,000.
So as long as you don't pay her more than $5,000 or $6,000, she should be clear.
I knew that there was a $25,000 threshold for individuals, but I didn't know how much of Social Security counted.
It's half. Half of Social Security counts into that equation to figure it out.
But she'll be fine. Cause
she should be fine.
She's not going to make more than 150 or 200 a week. She only works two part-time days.
Okay, well, then it should be work out, my friend.
Yeah. Okay, now, is what I'm hearing true that this budget bill they passed, remember on your show for 3 or 4 weeks in a row you were talking about these tremendous increases in Medicare Plan B premiums?
And we don't know yet.
They've been reduced to 15%.
It's not been finalized yet, as far as I know. So we're waiting to hear.
All right? Well, they better decide soon, because in December they send out those letters for everybody.
I understand, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care, Charlie. Here we go. Another break. All right, let's go.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's a step in the right direction.
That's right. That's one of my favorite Beatles songs.
All right. I'd say it's a step in the right direction. So I'm not gonna hard break, though, on the last one. I'm going to 650, I think, and just out of spite. Anyway, it's not like me to do that, but,
Do we have open lines, Drew?
We do have a few open lines, and we're on an open show. We're answering any question. We've had all kinds of questions tonight. Good questions.
Good mixture.
Lots of mixture. The Ricky Trust, anytime I hear somebody put a name on something, it always scares the heck out of me. I've heard these one guys did
R-I-C space E, Trust.
And also I saw these guys do one called the Stretch Trust, like they had some secret formula for your IRA account. Well, to be honest
with you. Stretch Cunningham?
Anytime I hear that kind of stuff, I always think, somebody's marketing something, Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. And we do have one caller online, but we have other lines open, so we're going to go to Steve and see if anybody else calls in while we're answering Steve's question. Steve in Towson.
Hey, I'm at the intersection of Reisterstown Road and the Beltway, and I'm painting Drew Tignanelli, WCBM, on the road here. Great painting it for you.
Is that a dumb intersection, or is that a dumb intersection? Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
Anyway, the real question. I got some appreciated stocks that I want to donate to some charities, and never done it before. And so what's the process for that? I want to be sure I get the documentation right, as to what the value is that I would be taking on my tax return, right?
Yeah. So if you gave away appreciated stock, you get to deduct the full market value of the stock on the day you gave it away. So let's say it's trading for $20 a share, and there's a formula you use You remember exactly what it is, Chris? Are you using the closing price on the, or is it
the average
price on the day you give it away, or whatever? I know we have it at the office. I don't remember that one.
I think it's the average.
And if you give it away on Friday, you know, or something like that, then there's a formula. So you get the full market value of it, regardless what you paid for it, unless the stock is at a loss. So if the stock is appreciated, which you say you have, right, it's the full market.
Yeah, right, so that way I can avoid the tax on the appreciation.
Yeah.
We'll make the donation.
And that's perfectly legitimate. You get the full market value of the stock. The only thing you're limited to is 30% of adjusted gross income. If your gross income is $200,000, you're only going to be able to do 60,000 of appreciated stock in any one year. Now you'll get a carryover to the next year, but you do have to, if you're going to give that kind of money away, you do have to think about that.
Now, you know, I have some things that have appreciated a lot, organizations I just want to give maybe, let's say, $100 to, which would be a few shares. Now, is that kind of like ludicrous to think in those terms? $100 donation.
I mean, you know, I think most charities wouldn't really want to do that, but in today's world, it's not a problem as much anymore. So in other words, in about 15 or 20 years ago, if I tried to sell a share or two, it would cost me a fortune because it was considered, not a round lot and so forth. And there were extra fees and there were extra prices and, you know, all kinds of issues. In today's world, you can sell 1-2 share at the exact same price anybody's selling 5,000 shares at. So, you know, technically, Steve, if a charity's willing to do it, there's no reason that they shouldn't be able to take 1, 2, 3 shares.
So I would tell E-Trade, for example, I want to sell, I don't know, 10 shares of Verizon.
No. What you're doing, Steve, is you're going to tell E-Trade to send 1 or 2 or 3 shares of Verizon over to Salvation Army's brokerage account. That's how you do it.
Okay, and they take care of the rest.
And then they take care of the rest. And they should send you an acknowledgement letter that you just gave them 3 shares of Verizon. That's all they're really going to do. You know, they may acknowledge what the price is, but, you know, that's how they do it.
Acknowledgement from E-Trade or from the charity?
From the charity.
Okay.
The charity's got to give you a receipt, and it's got to say no goods and services were received, and this is what I got from you, 3 shares of Verizon.
Right, so they have to have an account set up at whatever broker is going to sell this.
Right.
So you give it to the organization, they give it to the broker, and then it's sold, and you get the value of on the
right
day it was sold.
Yeah, so you're giving E-Trade your authorization to transfer to their brokerage account. Their brokerage account gets it, and they take care of it, and then the charity sends you a receipt that they got 3 shares of Verizon from you or whatever. All right?
So you got to be sure the charity actually has some kind of brokerage account.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know,
mom and pop place, they're not going to have one.
Well, that's not true. A lot of them, we set it up. You know, we've had a lot of churches that don't have brokerage accounts. We set up one for them. We send the shares over to the new account we set up for the church, and boom, you know. So it can be done very easily. All right?
Cool. Fabulous. Thank you.
All right, Steve. Take care. Lee in Baltimore.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay.
What's up?
Okay. My son was in the military. He has VA options. In fact, he wound up buying a condo in Seattle with his VA loan. And it's appreciated since then. And I told him what I thought he should do, since he's now living in Los Angeles and he's renting the place, is convert it to a conventional loan, take the VA capability that he has, and then wind up moving into something a little bit larger, which my understanding is with the VA loan, you can wind up actually buying up to 4 units and borrow up to $1 million. The problem I wind up having in terms of advising him is I don't know exactly what he should do in terms of contacting a person to wind up locating 4 units. So I'm wondering if you have any advice with regard to that.
You mean out in California?
Yes. Well, I don't looking for a specific person. I'm looking for the type of person.
Yeah, you know, Now, there are real estate agents who specialize in commercial properties. You know, that's what that would be considered, a commercial property. You know, so that's who you would have to contact, is some type of person that specializes in commercial real estate.
Okay.
But actually, you know, if you're only looking at that kind of unit, there are a lot of even home real estate agents would have contacts to help him get connected with somebody who has property for sale. So you should be able to contact any real estate agent and get that taken care of.
So it's basically use a real estate agent.
Yeah, but you know, ultimately you want a commercial real estate agent.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, well thank you very much.
All right, buddy, take care.
Bye.
You know, Anita, I'm sorry. I can't do it, Anita. I'm going to the next call. Jim on a cell, how can we help you? Jim?
Hello, sir.
Good. You're fading in and out. You got to turn your radio off.
All right.
There you go.
My question is, if when I pass on, will my wife get my full Social Security check?
For the most part, the answer to that is yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you have your radio on. You got to turn your radio off because we're reverberating.
You answered my question. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
All right, take care. Oh, darn. I got to take this pause again and hit
right
another mark. Professional. Go.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? Why do you see it your way? Run a risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work
it. Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. That's a good Beatles song. That's early Beatles.
That's two in a row.
Early Beatles, right?
Yeah.
Not real early, but pretty early.
Sure.
Before they got weird.
Before what they call the best album ever?
Yeah,
Sgt.
When they got,
Pepper's? Yeah.
Yeah, they were weird. Yeah, real weird. I'm a little more conventional, you know, traditional, I guess is what
they
you
were
might...
Doing, they were doing a lot of drugs, they say, for Sgt. Pepper's. Yeah, Paul McCartney would say, yeah, we were doing a lot of drugs.
Anyway, we're on an open show. We're in the last 10 minutes, or even less now, actually. And Anita's right, shaking her head. Yes, that's true, Drew. Do not go 10 minutes beyond here. And we have nobody online. Nobody wants to talk to us anymore. So, you know, if you want to call in, you get a chance to ask a question, 410-922-6680. You got about seven minutes, right?
Yeah.
No, actually eight.
We have a full eight, I think.
We have an eight.
Yeah.
Let's just do the Jeopardy theme song until somebody calls in. Do, 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 do.
We could talk. They were talking about the Social Security.
Yeah.
Okay. And we follow a guy who testifies on Capitol Hill. I mean,
right.
They've used his testimony to influence a lot of the debate on Social Security. Where do you go with that? How do you fix the system? They always listen to everything. And he's come out and talked about this budget deal and how they just put this bill in at the last moment. They included in that bill the change to Social Security. And so,
and what they were changing was the file and suspend concept and people getting half of their spousal benefits and all that kind of stuff.
Sure, something that they opened up in 2000, people to be able to file and suspend, and people using it in creative ways, which people always do. So they try to close that window. But in doing so, Kotlikoff believes that they are exposing divorced couples to potential battles.
Yeah.
On this.
Yeah, because what they're saying is that if a divorced spouse went in and claimed the spousal benefits, the one that is the one they're collecting against them, which they're allowed to do,
mm-hmm.
if they file and suspend, if they just suspend, that divorced spouse will no longer get their spousal benefits. And that's not the intention of the bill.
No, obviously, if people are separate, then what one does has no impact on the other. It was just the record that they were drawing from. He says now they did it in such haste that they bungled this, and so one is dependent on the other.
This is the thing that about President Obama that's interesting. It's like he reads and has people out there, you know, sitting around looking at what advisors are doing and saying, well, I don't like that, so let's get rid of it, you know? Because actually, they claim file and suspend was a big loophole.
Right.
And, you know, really, there was nothing negative to file and suspend. It was actually beneficial to encourage people to not take their benefits earlier. And it's only if these people live to be 90 or older would they actually
sure.
be paying out more money.
It helps out cash flow for Uncle Sam.
Yeah, Uncle Sam had the best of the deal for the first 15 years or so.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know why they jumped on the bandwagon and got rid of it. And, you know, and they also won't let you take the lump sum. If you file and suspend, you go back, say, give me a lump sum. That was a bonanza to the government, too. You know, and I could go into the whole details of why that would be, but anyway, I'm going to go to Gary real quick.
Go for it.
Gary, how can we help you?
Look, I have I'm 70. I'll be 71 in a month.
Good.
I'm
congratulations.
Still working.
All right.
I'm going my Social Security.
Okay.
I have maybe $70,000 in my 401, but I'm kind of want to call it quits. Can I have to set up something with somebody somewhere else with my 401, like, where I can take out X amount of money a month and maybe collect a little interest on it?
Sure. I mean, you can leave it at the company you're at if you want. You can do that. You can roll it over to an IRA with anybody. You know, you can roll it over to a brokerage firm. You can roll it over to an insurance company. You can roll it over to a bank. And you can set up an automatic monthly withdrawal for $100, $200, $300 a month, whatever you feel is safe to withdraw.
Well, I'm figuring if I got $70,000, right?
Right.
I'm figuring if I take $1,000 a month, that's 5 years. I could take $1,000 a month for 5 years.
Well, as long as you know that at the end of 5 years you're not going to have any money left, that's fine.
Well, hey, I got little money left here and there in property and stuff, but I'd like to call it quits. But I like to have a little spending money every month, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, you can roll it over to an IRA. You can leave it there. You can do an automatic monthly into your account, you know, and invest it however you feel comfortable with, whether you want guaranteed fixed or you want equities.
Can you talk to you or your company about it or what?
You can talk to us, yeah, 410-823-7283. You can go to, you know, pretty much anywhere.
Okay.
You know, one thing.
I might get in touch. I listen to y'all every week, so.
All right.
Talk to you, just see what's the best process for me to go through.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you if you call us, okay?
I'll call you.
Thank you, Gary. Bye. So, you know, that's a good, you know, a lot of people have that question, you know, is how do I get income off of my money when I, and usually the best thing to do is just invest it and then just draw something off of it and monitor what your, how your investments are doing. And
that's,
how you,
and that's the key because the
you
thinking
gotta
they go to a place and someone's going to set it up for them and that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Ron in Glen Burnie, how can we help you? We've only got a couple minutes.
I have a fixed indexed annuity. And I'm wondering, what is the value that will be used? Well, it was bought in the IRA.
Okay.
That was qualified money. Yeah. And so does that money go towards the total value of my retirement money when determining RMDs?
Yeah, it gets a little complicated with the equity index annuities and annuities as
mm-hmm.
a whole,
mm-hmm.
especially if you have things on there such as guaranteed withdrawal rights and guaranteed death benefits and things like that. But yeah, if that annuity is worth $100,000, let's say, as of the end of this year, then for the most part, and I say it's a little more complicated when you have an annuity with lots of little features on it, for the most part, $100,000 will be the number that the RMD will be calculated off of.
Mm-hmm. And so it's the actual account value number, not the roll-up.
Yeah, value. That's a stupid number anyway. You know, the roll-up number is a fake, stupid number. So don't even worry about it. It's the account value is your real money.
Great.
All right?
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, as you don't, you know, don't even assume that that roll up number and all that kind of crazy stuff has anything to do with real money. All right.
Thank you, man.
All right, Ron. Take care.
That's the number they give you when you're sitting out on Reisterstown Road at the Beltway in that lane. But for those who are listening also, the RMD is the required minimum distribution that you have to take after age 70 and a half.
Well, the roll-up number also is the number they use when they're selling you the annuity, you know? So anyway, it is what it is. But it's a good question that he's asking.
It is. It's a great question.
Is that roll-up number, and there's where it gets complicated. Now, I have about 30 seconds to explain this.
Go for it.
So when you have an account value of $100,000 in an equity index annuity, and you have a roll-up value, and you have a guaranteed withdrawal, and you have a guaranteed death benefit, the IRS is going to conclude that annuity could potentially be worth a little more than $100,000. They might say it's worth $105,000 because of these other features that you're buying in there, and they're going to make you take your RMD against $105,000, even though your account value is only $100,000. So it's not going to be a huge increase, but it could be a slight, and the company has to calculate that value for you.
Very complicated things if you're looking to combine that with IRAs you have elsewhere.
That is correct, and you know, and so forth.
He'll
anyway,
do them on its own.
We are out of time, and we had an incredible professional pause night tonight.
You
and we're going to pat
marks.
Ourselves on the back, and we're going to say, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.